This morning I want to talk about something called just world fallacy. And we tend as a culture to really believe this. And there's some truths about it, but there's things that we need to understand. Just world fallacy means that, or to live in a just world, it means that there are direct consequences to our actions. If you do A, you're always going to get B. So if you're always good, good things are always going to happen to you. And the reality of life teaches us something different. This is a challenging thing to deal with. We're always trying to figure out cause and effect. And we know there's some truth to that, that there is cause and effect. And it even goes back to biblical times. Remember a story of, there was a young boy, if I'm remembering correctly, who had a disease. I can't remember if he was blind or sick or whatever. And the disciples were around him and Jesus, and they asked a question based on just world fallacy. Master, who did sin? Did this boy sin or this father sin? Meaning the question really behind it, the meaning behind the question is, all right, there's a reason for this. There has to be something happened, and there's a punishment being happened that this kid is blind or dumb or halt or whatever he was. And the Savior's response is very interesting. Neither did he sin nor his father or parents. Meaning that sometimes in life, there are things that just happen. People get sick. Cancer comes. Accidents happen. Yes, now, can we mindfully do everything that we possibly can to avoid those things? And can we avoid those things using our agency? Yes, most all the time. But there are other times when things just happen. And we have to come to terms with that. And facing the reality that things don't always work out the way that we want them to. And pain is something that doesn't like to be seen or understood. Pain likes to hide. And so when we don't get answers to our questions, sometimes it really can crush us, can crush our testimony in what we might believe in. Many people give up on prayer, for example. I've prayed a million times and I don't see the results for that. Or I'm believing this church or that church. I don't believe in God anymore. Why would God, a God of love, allow these things to happen? But as you think about it, and as I've been working in the therapeutic world for so many years now, it's like the very essence of life, this is my perspective, the very essence of life is a test. I choose to believe that. I choose to believe there's a purpose for this life. And I choose to believe that we are constantly faced with challenges and opportunities. And we're always in the process of trying to complete things and fix things, right? Because nature doesn't like open loops. So there's purpose behind the striving of these things. And yes, we can complete this project or that project, but the next one is always there. And there's always going to be challenges and obstacles. But wisdom dictates that we should call those things and see those things in the light of a different perspective. These are opportunities to continue to grow, experience, learn, refine. I mean, the whole word repentance has such a negative connotation, and for many, shame is wrapped around it. To me, the word simply means we learn from our experiences. We all make mistakes. Some of us get caught in addictions, go down the rabbit hole, and experience really hard things, challenging things. But as long as we are alive, as long as we keep moving forward, at any time we can have an awakening where all of a sudden something just kind of clicks and it's like, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to use this drug anymore. I'm in an abusive relationship. I'm not staying here anymore. It's looking for moments of change, that being open to them, inviting them in, asking constantly for guidance and direction based on your intuition, and being mindful, extremely mindful, that you're not being manipulated by other individuals. Just got through, a couple of books I'm reading, and I have a friend who's just written another book. Title is Living Unfinished. I'm excited to read that book. I've just ordered it. It just came out. And then another one that I'm reading, it's called Unspeakable Things by Brooke Nevels. And Brooke, very courageous in writing this book, but she worked, and perhaps you remember the story, that she joined NBC Universal. She was a producer, and she was there from 2008 to 2018. And anyway, it was a producer for the morning show with Matt Lauer. And this is her story about how she got caught in the system, and without even becoming aware of what was going on, she was manipulated, was raped by Matt Lauer. And I mean, she's very telling in this story. And when I hear that and I see, you know, what we see on TV, we think these people are just amazing and wonderful. And she calls them the talent. And so her job was to protect the talent. But then people just get too full of themselves and feel that the rules don't apply to them. And anyway, that she was subject to being very carefully manipulated into anywhere where she was raped. Just call it what it is. She was brutally raped. And it took her years to be able to unpack that and to be able to actually say that, because we're conditioned not to speak certain things and not to think of things a certain way. It's very confusing, and very the power of manipulation by others is we all need to be aware of that. And I'm aware of and working in with a lot of different things right now, with some, anyway, very public things that are going on, where similar things are happening, with an individual becomes powerful, like Brooke Neville says, the talent, and everyone walks around the talent, or the one in charge, or the one that is bringing in the money, the name, the face, all of that stuff, and this empowers them to do things that are unspeakable to other people. And it's just... and I think look, I look at it both ways. There's no doubt being a woman in our society is extremely challenging. It's a male-dominated society. There's no doubt about that. And men need to be more respectful and kind. We need to be listening to, you know, our executives who are females or in the workplace. I'm not seeing now, at the same time, and I got to be careful how I say this, I do know that the opposite happens also, that there are black widows out there, that there are women who are predators also, but the bulk of them are men, from all the experiences that I've had. But I have to throw that in there, because I've seen the other happen, and I've seen men actually lose their jobs because they were sexually harassed. They went to try to do something about it, and they ended up losing their jobs. I've dealt with scenarios like that where it's just like, oh my gosh, seriously? But because some agencies are so hypervigilant on that, that just a woman just needs to say a word and a guy gets fired. I've seen situations like that happen. But that's rare. The reality is that most women have to live in a male-dominated corporate world where they're just being thrashed emotionally on a regular basis, and they just have to figure out, how do I strategically navigate through this to keep my job without selling my soul in the process? It's very, very challenging. And it's something we all need to be mindful and aware of. It's something we all need to work on. But it's a very, very challenging thing to deal with. But, and the question is finding a voice. What do I do? So taking responsibility for our lives is of the utmost importance. That's where our agency lies. We're responsible for what we choose to do as we continue to learn and iterate day after day after day. Sometimes it really does take years before you get to a point where you can actually do something. That's okay. Sometimes it just takes time. There's an incubation period as you're learning. Sometimes we don't want to see things. Sometimes we don't want to believe things. But after enough time, after enough experience, you just see some things continue to happen in our lives until we finally have the self-efficacy or strength to say, I'm just not doing this anymore. But making a decision to change, deciding, is not actually doing something. Transformation will only take place not because of what you decide you want, but because of what you actually choose to do about it, who you choose to speak through, to how you choose to confront this issue that might be plaguing you. But anyway, just encourage you to think about where you're at in the process. You do have the power within you to take charge of your life, to be responsible, to look at the hard things of your life. You know, there's a few scenarios that I'm working with right now with wonderful souls have been through so much in their life, so much past trauma, and they've just put it in a box and so that they can function in the world. And yet when they start to reach, you know, 30-ish, 30, 40 years old, somewhere in there, and even later sometimes it happens, the box starts to banging from within side, that the story needs to be told. Because we just carry these things around with us, and part of healing is talking about identifying the traumas that we went through, but it's very, very challenging to do. And again, the reality is that pain doesn't like to be seen or understood. It goes back to the three prime directives of the limbic part of the brain. Survival is its number one prime directive. And it does that second prime directive by avoiding anything that's painful. And the third prime directive is, I got to get out of that pain and search for something pleasurable, whatever that is. That's why I admire those who get into therapy and they really do take a serious look at some of the deep pains in their life in order to clean them out. I know there's a lot to say, you don't need to look at the past, you just need to move forward. I'm telling you, in my experience, it doesn't really work that well. You can do that. And some people have said, I'm carrying certain things to the grave. I'm never going to, you know, speak about certain things. Well, you can do that. But I think you're diminishing the quality of life you can have by making sense of things as much as you possibly can. Making sense of the fact that perhaps you were manipulated, brainwashed, taken advantage of, and let light come into your life and continue so that you can truly be more creative of who you are and make a difference in the world and figure out whatever your purpose is. See, I think sometimes in life we lose our purpose. We lose our direction or we have a difficult time finding it. But that's one of the most critical things for each of us is to find a purpose, find a meaning. What are we about? What am I going to do with my life? Kind of like a mission. Again, that's just my perspective, that I choose to believe this way, that there is a purpose for our lives here. We're not going to live forever. And all these crazy ideas about people trying to find the fountain of youth, that they're trying this and that and the other and all these crazy things. None of it's going to work because God's in charge. We are not. We will all die and we will transition to another experience. And it really does matter what we do here. It really does matter to wrestle with these concepts of right and wrong, and it really matters what we choose. And I'm convinced that to do good is the best way to live your life, and to eschew the bad and the evil things in the world. I don't even need to tell you what those are, because we all intuitively know them. I can't say all, because there are some that are just really, really bad people out there. There are some stories that I've heard that are horrific. And anyway, not to go down that rabbit hole so much, but just one real quick. I mean, this guy committed rape and murder when he was fairly young, but it was absolutely brutal. And he had snapped in the interview, and he was just crazy. And he's been to prison, and then he comes out, and he's going, I reformed. And he's talking to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist saying, look, this guy really has changed. He's reformed. And I'm listening to him. I'm watching him talk in front of a group of people, and I'm saying to myself, this man can never, ever walk free among people again, ever. What he did crossed the line, and he needs to be behind bars for the rest of his life. And I'm stunned that there's even professionals that will go, yeah, no, he's reformed. He's not going to do that anymore. You know what? I've just seen too much. The environment is extremely powerful. He can be reformed in prison, and that's wonderful. I hope he is. But because of what he has done, it's too risky to put him out into the world again. So there are consequences to certain behaviors that we cannot look the other way. So we've got to use our wisdom in that. And so luckily there was a judge when he did come up for, you know, parole and getting out. The judge says, that's great that you reformed, but you're going to just stay reformed in jail or in prison for what you've done. We're not going to let you walk free. And I'm so, so grateful to hear that. Because certain things are just, they cross a line, and there needs to be consequences, and we need to hold people accountable to that. That, again, is a form of very subtle manipulation, that we want to be kind and forgiving. I actually have a wonderful individual I've been working with, but she's a survivor of being trafficked, the whole thing, starting as a young girl, went through horrific experiences, and now trying to unpack it all in her life. And she said something very interesting to me, because the abuse is also happening. It happened associated with the church that she was going to at the time. She says, you know, the church or in religion is a great place for predators to hide. And I go, what do you mean by that? Well, what do Christian religions teach? They teach patience, forgiveness, kindness. And it's like, and so that's where they hide. And when you're raised in that environment, we have a tendency to feel it's our responsibility to forgive the perpetrator. Okay, I hear that, and I'm all in for helping. I mean, that's what I do as a therapist, working with those who are trying to change with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There are certain things, however, that cross a line, that unless we do something, we stand up, we speak up, that the perpetration continues to just keep happening, and that must stop. That is not okay. It's never okay. There are certain things when you cross a line, you've crossed the line, and now the consequences will be for the rest of your life, in whether that's in prison or whatever, or you can't be around kids anymore, or whatever it is. But and we need to honor that. So we just need to be mindful and aware. Anyway, and now I'm just rambling through this podcast, but I'm just so many stories of individuals I'm working with. And again, this book by Brooke Neville's Unspeakable Things, and she's unpacking how she was just groomed and manipulated in our system. And that continues to happen today. Be mindful, be aware of who you are, where you are in time and space, what your relationships are truly like with other people. Pay attention to your gut. Start paying attention, getting more alive in your body, feeling what you feel and honoring that, and speaking and honoring your voice. And you know, just start the process. If it's starting writing about it, or getting into therapy, whatever you need to do. But anyway, Those are the thoughts I want to leave with you. You have an amazing week.